we have different classifications of generations. World War II age group people were and are called the greatest generation. They were willing to suffer and give all in order that we have what we have this morning. And they're classified as the greatest generation of our country. Then you have the baby boomers, of which I'm part of that. That group of people that were born to those vets that came back and those families of the 50s that were together serving, and most of them serving the Lord. We have that group of people, then we're called the baby boomers, and they are classified as that. Then a little later, you have what's called Generation X, and whatever time frame that is. Now we hear much today about the millennials. That's another generation. It's another group of people. And so we're all intermingling. We're all doing these things. And sometimes in our family reunions, there's vast differences in our ages, but the greatest difference is in our generations. The greatest difference is how we see things, how we look at things, how we are instructed by those around us. It's not necessarily age, it's just how we look and how we see things. I've sort of classified some generations here this morning. First generation, I have them the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. We could almost up it a little bit because of the time frame that we're in. The second generation, born in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And the third generation, born in the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010, and now we're almost at 2020. Time frame, people born, social issues, media. And now we have the social media. We have everything is instant right now. We know what's going on. Whether it's true or not, we get some kind of information. And that's where we are. The first generation that's mentioned here, 30s, 40s, and 50s, we weren't raised by shopping malls or by computers or by portable phones. I can remember when you get on the phone, you might hear somebody talking because you're on an extension line, and your neighbor down the road might be on that same extension, and you'd have to say, "Excuse me, I need to use the phone," and they would politely hang up. You get cussed out now for doing that. That's the generation that had those things. We had Sunday as church day, not Walmart day. You can't walk through Walmart now on Sunday. You go on Friday night and there's nobody there, but you go Sunday right now, it's full because people have changed the way of seeing things. So we have that group. Then that second generation, we have that technology exploded in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Well, in the 60s, we landed a man on the moon. Some think we did, some think we didn't. Regardless of where we are, we had the technology and read about the history of Apollo 13. There was technology involved to get those people back alive because of the terrible explosion on board the Apollo 13. And so we find that generation, technology explodes. Now this last generation, up to where we are right now, we have satellite, we have 500 channel satellite TV. We have internet TV, we have cell phones, we have the Google world, we have all those things. You can have immediate access. I really don't understand how public libraries stay in existence because we don't need them anymore. It's a lot quicker to sit at home and just, you don't even have to type it in now, just talk. I get on this thing, sometimes you don't understand my Kentucky English and I have to correct it, but you just ask the question and she'll say, "Well, let me look the internet for that." Y'all are smiling. You know, you've done it too. And so we have all these things, and thank God for the convenience of that. But I tell you, with convenience, we've traded a lot of things very important. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, that the sins of the father will be visited upon the children of the third and fourth generation that hate God. Now, that doesn't mean that my grandchildren will suffer for my sin, but they'll be a recipient of what takes place because of what my generation has done. Third and fourth generation. It has been said we reap what we sow, we reap later than we sow, and we reap a whole lot more than we sow. Sometimes the full result of a person's way of life is not seen until their children's lifetime. In these verses that we read this morning in the book of Judges, there are three generations that are mentioned. You have Joshua's generation. Then you have the generation in verse number 7. Also, the elders that outlived Joshua. And then you have in verse number 10, there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. They knew not the works. They had not experienced the blessings of the Lord. One was committed, one was casual, and one became very carnal generations. The inconsistencies, I read this somewhere, the inconsistencies of the second generation becomes the iniquities of the third generation. The inconsistencies of our life. Well, I can do it or not do it. I can serve the Lord or not serve the Lord. I can go to church or not go to church. Those inconsistencies will later on transfer into our family as just total sins against the Lord of not doing it at all. How did this third generation turn out here in the book of Joshua? It tells us in verse number 11, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. When you don't have God's guidance, you're going to do what? You're going to do evil. The Bible says here that they served Baal. Verse number 12 says they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, that generation before them. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, and then it says they followed other gods. Verse 13 says they served Baal and Ashtaroth. Those were wicked gods of the heathen. Verse number 15 says the hand of the Lord was against them. They were greatly distressed. God lays it out generation by generation and the results of that. Now, I sort of think that we are experiencing some things this morning that God has laid out before us already if we would just search it out of what He does. There is a result of what we do. There's Joshua that served the Lord, me and my house. In his final statement to Israel, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's Joshua's generation. There's a spiritual law that is given here that's made and should be made to our to yield ourselves unto the Lord day by day, moment by moment, so that we do not go the path of least resistance. I believe most people today like the path of least resistance. I do. I don't like controversy. I don't like problems. I don't like arguing. I don't like the struggles. And so we take the path of least resistance in so many areas and so many things that all of a sudden we find ourselves not resisting anything. We find ourselves, and I think everybody has to struggle, has to fight with that inconsistency of life. There are some things we ought to fight for. There are some things we ought to stand for. There's some things you can't take the path of least resistance. There's some things you have to stand and say, "This is where I stand. This is where I live. This is what I believe." And willing to have the struggle if need be in order to stand there. Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." We noticed a few weeks ago that statement that Joshua's made was in his final statement to Israel. It wasn't in his early life. He had already proven that. He served the Lord. So in Joshua's final statement to Israel, he says, "As far as my house is concerned, we're going to serve God." Well, another generation comes along, and I think we can sort of identify with this. I've just put it in these words. As for me, without my house, I will serve the Lord. I don't have to have my house with, but I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, how many times I've seen homes divided, one serving God, one not serving God. A divided house has a problem. And the problem ends up not necessarily in their time frame, not in maybe in their generation, but it comes out in that third generation, and they're saying is neither me nor my house will serve the Lord. We finally just do away with it. You see where we're going in our country? I believe we're we're in that generation that knows not God. We have people that earn multiple dollars that hate God, and they make it known they hate God. But yet we go ahead like nothing happens. What was it? Not last, maybe week before last, on the View ABC program, you have that one lady, Joy. She says if, and she degrading our vice president. I did the thing, the video or the thing last week of our vice president's statement concerning that. Because he makes the statement that he talks to God and Jesus talks to him. And she said, that's mental illness. And she's applauded, by the way. She's the one that's the hero of our society. Thank God she's not my hero. Well, we realize it or not, she thinks all of us in this building this morning, she thinks we're mentally ill. We need to be put away. Well, they've done that in, they did that in Russia. They have their mental institutions that people go into that don't agree with the government. They do that in China. You lose your life. They did that in World War II, Germany, called them concentration camps because they were all mentally ill. And I'll guarantee you there's people in our country right now that do the same thing to you and I if they could get by with it. That's the generation that we live. There's some examples given in the Bible. There's three generations spoken of, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you study those three personalities, that first generation, Abraham, he obeyed God. He left his homeland. He walked by faith. Wherever he ended up, it was fine with him. And he always did two things wherever he stopped. He built an altar and he dug a well. That's what Abraham did. The first was a spiritual act and the second was a physical act. He built an altar to have relationship with God. He dug a well so he could survive physically. Abraham believed God. Abraham put God first. He put spiritual matters ahead of physical matters. Now, Abraham was not perfect. He lied. We know the story about Sarah and he, telling a half-truth or a partial truth. But you come to that second generation, and you have the generation of Isaac. Isaac built several wells and sometimes built an altar. Just sometimes. He seemed to put physical needs ahead of spiritual needs. He had the same God of his father. He's Isaac. He's a great patriarch of the Old Testament. But I'm showing the digression of generations. He had the same God, but he didn't have the same convictions. Abraham lied once. Isaac lied twice. He lied two times to protect his life. The third generation, you come to Jacob. He's the king of liars. Jacob's life is filled with lies. He's a surplanter. He's a conniver. He's a worker for his own benefit. He's a cheat. The only time that Isaac built an altar was when he was in trouble. Degeneration, three generations. If you go to 1 Samuel, you'll find three generations. In 1 Samuel, chapter 1, 2, down through chapter 4, you'll find there's a generation of a high priest. His name is Eli. He's the high priest of God. He's a servant of the Lord. If you come to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse number 12, his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they're called sons of Belial. The word Belial means worthless, corrupt. And they were the sons of the high priest. They grew up in church. They grew up in the temple. They saw all the things that Eli did as a high priest to honor and worship the Lord, but it didn't work that way with them. So they're sons of Belial. And the Bible says in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 2, they knew not the Lord. So you can grow up in the spiritual conditions, and you can grow up in good families, you can grow up in excellent churches and still not know the Lord. The Bible says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. That's the second generation. Here's the high priest, here's his sons. They're sons of Belial. They're wicked, they're ungodly, they're corrupt. That's that next generation. Well, there's another generation right after that. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And there's a man by the name of Ichabod. That's third generation. You know what it says about Ichabod? His name means the glory of the Lord hath departed. The Lord is no longer there. Because the process of time, they have gotten rid of God. So we see it in the generations of Abraham. We see it in the generation of Eli. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 27, 28, there's a king by the name of Uzziah. And he was active in the things of the Lord. But he was kicked out of the house of God. When he tried to take over the priest office, which he should not have done. And God judged him. But the second generation, his son, was named Jotham. And the Bible says he entered not into the temple of God. Second generation. Here you go from one being in the temple to the next generation. He enters not into the temple of God. Forsaken worship, no longer worshiping the Lord. He's apathetic about the things of God. Now, he did some good things, but week after week, no longer in the house of God. And somewhere that will take a toll on your spirituality. Third generation is Ahaz. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 24, talking about Ahaz, he shuts the doors of the house of God. He locks them up. No worship at all. False worship. His grandfather was active, his father was apathetic, and now he's antagonistic against the things of the Lord. That's those three generations over and over and over again. And you might, and I might, can even look at my own family, our own families, and say, I see the first, I see the second, and now I'm seeing the third. No longer serving God. We cannot ignore it as a Christian. This is a continual degeneration in three generations. The pattern is here, and it cannot be ignored all through the Old Testament. Nor can it be ignored in our Christian walk. I can remember when you was talked when you talked about Jesus Christ, He is my Lord. He's my Master. And that's what He really is. And then we began, and there's nothing wrong, but when you begin to no longer talk about His lordship over us, and we just talk about His saving us, we go down a little bit there. So He goes from Lord to Savior, Deliverer. Not necessarily my Master, He just saved me. We heard that a few years ago. And then now He's just a religious leader among many. That's where we are in our country. Jesus is belittled. He's mocked. He's made fun of. We have firsthand faith. We have faith of our parents. And then sometimes it falls on no faith at all. I know families that the first generation loved the Lord and served God without any reservations. And their children come along, and I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. But all of a sudden, this first generation group, they said, well, I want my child to have it a little better than I had it. So it's okay if I give up a little bit spiritually so they can have gain in this world. And so the spirituality goes down. So we have firsthand faith. We have this generation says, yeah, my mom and dad used to go take us to church all the time. How many times I've heard that? My mom and dad used to take us to church all the time. Well, do you go now? No, I haven't been a long time. There's that second generation. You know what happens in the third generation? No faith at all. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you have, we'll call them grandparents. They serve God. They love the Lord. They were true to God. They'd get in a buggy and go through the snow just to get in church, and where they had to get into the middle of the church and start a fire, just so they could stay warm enough to serve God. That's that generation. How many of us know those people? I do. But then convenience come along, and well, I'm a little tired this morning. I don't think I'll go. And when you come in the house of God, it's warm and there's no problems. And you don't have to work it up. You don't have to cut a tree. Just flip a button like I did this morning. Oh, the church will always be there. Oh, really? Well, Grace Baptist Church has always been there. It'll be there when I need her. She may not be. Well, my mom and dad, they were faithful. I believe the same thing they believe. Oh, really? And then that generation has children, and they have no awareness of God at all in their life. What a sad story. Degeneration in three generations. I don't say it braggingly, but my mom and dad went to church, took me to church. I've always been in church. I'm in church. My daughter is in church. They're doing great in church. That's three generations. But there's a fourth generation coming up behind them, and I'm afraid for them. We have, in the first generation, we have a heart for God. In the second generation, we have hypocrisy. I'm really not what I say I am. In the third generation, we have hostility. I don't want God. I don't need God. I have no desire of God. The first generation, we serve a sovereign God. In the next generation, we become mentally ill if we believe in God. In the last generation, I'm just concerned about this unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. First generation never misses church. Second generation, this Sunday only. The next generation, they have their CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. See how we've degraded? We go from people to possessions to purposeless. No purpose in life. We can't ignore it as a Christian. We can't ignore it in our churches. We have churches that used to be scripture-based, now they became saint-based, and now they're society-based. Whatever society tells us, that's what we want to do, because we want the nickels and the elbows. We have gone from what does God think to what do you think to who cares what anybody thinks. We've gone from 50 years ago, 60 years ago, there wasn't a choice what Bible you used. We've gone from King James to NIV to duct tape Bible, whatever you want to call it. This will not make me popular with out there, but it's still true. We've gone from historical Christianity to now we just, it doesn't matter what you believe. My doctrine, I'm talking about me personally, and I'm not ashamed of it. I am under the belief that I am a historical Baptist. That means I believe we came from Jesus Christ. We did not come from Rome. We're not Protestant. We never were a part of it. We didn't have anything to protest. And now we've got churches that take the name Baptist off because they're ashamed of it. I'm glad they take it off. And so we're digressing. We're going the wrong way. We've gone from fighting sin to being silent about sin to promoting sin. We can't ignore it as a Christian, we can't ignore it as a church, we can't ignore it as a country. You know the Ivy League schools, you know what they started out as? Yale, Harvard, you know what they were when they started? They were preacher colleges. Read their history. And now they're God haters. But yet that's the elite that go there. We've come a long way, baby. Have organizations like YMCA that stood for some things that were right, but they never did really push what they should, and now they have no Christian values at all. We've gone from prayer in school to the Supreme Court ruling, and now we have guns in school. There's the problem. I was going to high school when those rulings came down. I have gone to the principal's office at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning or whatever morning it was. I have sat there and I personally read some scripture and had prayer over the intercom. All of the kids did that. And now you look down upon if you even talk about God. And that hasn't been eternity ago. I graduated high school in 1969. been long enough, but it's not eternity ago. And look where we are now. Have to have policemen in the school. And everybody's grumbling and griping about, well, if they do this, if they do that, if they do something else, all these things wouldn't happen. No, if they'd get God back in it, it might not happen again. If they'd recognize what the real problem is, it's not a money problem, it's not a problem with finances, it's a problem with God. We can't ignore it. We've gone from Christian values to pluralism. We've gone through that. Well, one God's as good as the other. So we've gone from the true God to a plurality of gods, and now we have paganism. We've gone from TV shows like Father Knows Best, that's now laughed at, to the Archie Bunker style fatherhood, God deliver us. Until now, they say, who's daddy? Fatherless homes. Homosexual homes. We've come a long way. We had a generation that worked and saved. I can remember my dad, he would not buy anything if he didn't have the money to buy it. And we did without a whole lot. When he could have borrowed the money, he said, I just don't think I want to do that. I remember my dad borrowing one time. And he borrowed it from his brother. I forget, it wasn't a whole lot. But it worried him to death that he paid his brother back. So well, that generation worked and saved. The next generation occasionally borrows. It don't bother me to go borrow money to buy a car. My dad would not do that. So we didn't drive a whole lot of good cars. But I'm of the generation that will borrow occasionally. But there is a generation that are slaves unto their debt. They borrow to go to McDonald's. McDonald's got, I don't know how many of you have that app on your phone, says McDonald app. I picked it up, and I like every once in a while to go, and I see what they got. Now they've got this thing, mobile order and pay. I am not going to put a dollar hamburger on my credit card. Not worth a dollar to begin with. But now we're slaves to our debt. We borrow for everything. And I know our society is different than the other. I know there's things that have to be, if I need it and I have to have it, I'll go borrow. That's that second generation mentality. But our children's mentality is, give me the card, I'll go get what I want. Never think about paying it back. That's why we have bankruptcy. And sometimes I know that is. Sometimes I know that has to be. But I'm not about the rampant, uncontrollable spending. Second generation people raise third generation children unless they get their lives right with God. Degeneration in three generations. I believe I've biblically proven that is a fact. I don't know when I've ever had a message get a hold of my heart as much. And the truth of it, the reality of it, the continual living and seeing it happen before our eyes. What's wrong with Florida schools? No different than Marshall County schools. No different than Hopkins County schools. We have been very fortunate considering some of the atmospheres that's in our county. But those leaders, they say, I guess we'll put some more alarms on our doors. That'll keep them out. We'll lock it down. They can't get in. There's always something to fix it. But they never choose the right fix. Well, we'll spend more dollars. We'll put more property tax on it and call school tax. Well, I hate paying school tax. I hate paying taxes. Well, the politicians say, well, we'll just take away all the guns. That's not going to cure it. But there is a cure. And it's to get back to God. But have we gone too far down the road in our generations? I want to be, to my grandchildren, I want to be that first generation. I want to take the place of my mom and dad in their eyes. And then that makes them the third generation, and I see so many tendencies. I see so many things in that second generation that's affecting the next generation. I'm talking about my family. May God help us this morning to realize that we're just here for a little while. And the only thing that really matters is how we affect the generations that follow. They raised up a generation that knew not the Lord. Was it their fault? No. It was that generation before them. They did not tell that generation there is a God in heaven. Let's stand together this morning.